Welcome to the Internet Report, where we uncover what's breaking and what's working on the Internet. My name is Archana Kesavan, and I'm joined by my co-host, Angelique Medina.
Hi, everyone.
In this week's highlights, it turns out it's a pretty quiet week. We came out after the CenturyLink outage last Sunday, and as you can see here, it seems like the Internet was doing just okay.
Yeah, I mean, it may have been that in the aftermath of that outage, there was a lot of network engineers that probably figured, you know, they wanted to have a little bit of downtime, not touch their network too much. So it seems like things were pretty stable. And also bear in mind that we had the holiday weekend in the U.S., which may have meant that there were less changes being made to networks by enterprises and service providers. And so that probably is one reason why we saw a really nice kind of sleepy week in many ways, which is good.
We'll take it.
No news is good news.
Yes. And in case you missed, you know, the outage analysis that we kind of walked through last week, you can go back, listen to it on our podcast, or, you know, read the blog as well. And, you know, summary of that is it was essentially BGP gone bad. An offending BGP flow spec announcement kind of broke down CenturyLink's network and thereby the internet.
Yeah. But that, and there's a lot of really interesting kind of takeaways from that. So there weren't, you know, in spite of the fact that Level 3 was not accepting route changes from its peers, there were things that could have been done by their customers mm-hmm. in order to mitigate some of the damage from this. So though some of those things are listed in that blog, so definitely check it out. And while you're reading it or after you read it, click subscribe and follow.
Yep, definitely. And, you know, last week, actually, we wanted to cover another outage, which had happened on August 21st. It was actually a Verizon Edgecast outage, but the CenturyLink outage kind of overshadowed it, and we thought it was, you know, time well spent talking about the CenturyLink outage. So we're kind of going to go back in time and do an under the hood of the Verizon Edgecast outage that happened on August 21st.
Yeah, and this one was interesting because it's kind of a nice contrast to what we covered last week, which was really specifically a network outage. And this is an application level outage having to do with some issue within Edgecast CDN services. So it wasn't network related. We could see that network paths to Edgecast Edge were just fine. There wasn't any issue like packet loss or significant latency. And then the flip side of this was that this was so massive in scale in terms of the number of customers impacted and the services that they announced were impacted, that it clearly had nothing to do with their customers' origin servers either.
Right,
so
right.
So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll walk through a couple of services, you know, that did also show the impact of the outage. And this is something I think we covered in the CenturyLink outage as well, like how you were impacted, like dependent on too many factors. And this one's like, Angelique, you're pointing out, is a nice contrast to what we saw last week.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out Verizon, we don't have a complete RCA as to what exactly, you know, transpired, but they did acknowledge the outage. And as you can see here, it was one that was completely widespread in terms of, you know, their locations that were impacted, but also different types of CDN services were impacted to their application, their storage and edge and all of that. So,
And what's interesting about that, you know, is that we saw that, you know, so they didn't issue an RCA, but what we saw in monitoring some of the services or some of their customer services was that this was specifically impacting content that either was not cached and had to be fetched from the origin server, or maybe was not locally cached and had to be fetched from some upstream server that might have been within their caching network, which is interesting because Verizon principally is a media streaming provider, and so they serve a lot of cached content. Mm-hmm. So it may have been that during the outage, a lot of the services that use them may not have seen an immediate effect or a really significant effect. But anybody who was using their services for web delivery, which is highly dynamic and oftentimes requires a lot of objects to be fetched from either the origin or other services, they probably would have seen that much more immediately.
Right.
We saw across all of our tests, a pretty significant spike at that time.
Right. It's interesting, you know, because the type of tests, I mean, the response codes that we were seeing, as you can see here as well, as a spike in the 500 response codes, but we did see a lot of 504s, which specifically mean that the upstream from the edge, whether, you know, be that an origin or be that another caching server, was not able to basically serve the request.
So the 504 is a bad gateway timeout error, which, as you indicated, if this, like, the server that you're requesting the content from is timing out, trying to reach some other server to fulfill your request.
Right. This outage was almost like 2 to 3 hours, and that's kind of the spike that you see here, very specifically filtered for, a 500 response code and only served by Edgecast at this point in time.
So 1700 UTC is like around 1 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. It was on a Friday, 21st is a Friday. So, yeah. Anyways, one of the impacts in terms of Edgecast customers, what they saw depending on, you know, cached content versus non-cached content was varied as well. Like, this is an example where, we are actually testing to a digicert URL, which is served by Edgecast. And as you can see here in that time frame specified, this is around 19:30 UTC. That was still well within the outage time frame. You start seeing that outage, starting to show up around 2 hours ago here. So in terms of, this particular outage, what you don't see here, but we did validate, is that the network path to the Edgecast edge servers were intact. So there was no network packet loss or routing issue.
Right. And typically you would see, like, if there was a network issue, you would see maybe a connect issue in some of these errors here in the status. We're seeing an HTTP error. So this is an application level error.
Right. And network issue. Very clearly the 504 shows up here. And again, essentially meaning there was something that was, disturbing the connectivity to the origin or another cache server. And the reason, this wasn't an issue specific to an origin was because the number of services that was impacted, that were relying on Edgecast, right? It would have been a terrible coincidence if multiple services, origin servers, went down. So this was not the case.
Now, in contrast to that, we see some other customers. So in this case, this is element of a service or a service component for Twitter. And we can see that, in fact, during the outage, we were getting content served from Edgecast, and we see the HTTP response header showing that the content is available and being served from the edge. So there's no errors that are being returned as a result of this. Now, what's interesting too is that also just in terms of popularity, I mean, Twitter is probably much more heavily trafficked than a digicert domain. So the likelihood of it being available at more edge servers, the local server that you're requesting from, is much higher too. So there could be configuration elements or configuration factors at play, mm-hmm. but there can also be just be factors in terms of popularity and how densely kind of placed the cache content is, because the CDN providers will often purge their cache if they're not getting a lot of requests for a particular domain or particular content because they need it or the other content that they're fulfilling. So that could also be a factor here as well.
Right. Angelique, so I know you've been specifically focused on doing some research on CDNs as well in terms of comparisons and stuff. So if we had to have a takeaway, right, like to cache or not cache, would your input be there?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of trade-offs, right? Because if you for example, let's just take the root object or the kind of the index file, because that's typically for most like web delivery, most web sites, the customer of the CDN provider oftentimes will either not cache the index file, or they're mm-hmm. doing like a revalidation setting on it where you have to basically go back to the origin every single time. Now, it looked like some of the services that weren't impacted were not doing that. So they were being served from Edgecast. But the problem is that you don't have a lot of control if you want to make changes, right? So if you want to be much more dynamic in terms of the makeup of the page, you want to change different settings or images or, you know, any of that. You have to wait until the cache gets purged. You know, you might still be serving stale content from the edge. So this gives you a lot of control to make changes on the fly. But then the flip side of that is that something happens with the origin, or if something happens on the network trying to reach the origin, then you could potentially create an issue where you're not able to serve the page or the majority of the page. So
that's like, you know, you're basically increasing the number of dependencies because you're trying to be dynamic. Right. And I think it's kind of the same thing with, you know, moving to the cloud. Like, it has its benefits, but then you are losing control and to some extent some visibility into what's happening there. So
exactly. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's really hard to reduce a lot of dependencies, because websites today are just so dynamic, and there's often components that are being served. Like, you almost can't avoid, in a lot of instances, having to fetch from the origin,
right,
or even having to fetch from just a huge number of other services.
Right.
So there's already a lot of risk, and a lot of this is really app specific. So it's kind of important to understand, you know, what your trade-offs will be from a performance standpoint, from a resiliency standpoint. So kind of think about the different scenarios of if the origin isn't available, or if the CDN has some issue, or if maybe some critical services that you rely on for your site or your application are not available, what's going to happen in that situation.
Correct. So it's kind of like a domino effect of sorts. And you bring up a great point about resiliency, because that is something we saw as well. I believe this was the Twitter example where it was not only front-ended by Edgecast, but by Fastly as well.
Right.
So again,
redundancy. Well, this is something we also saw with the level 3 outage too, right? Because there were some companies who had just one provider, some had multiple. And in the case of Twitter, they're not just relying on one CDN provider, they have at least two. So that's also
important. Right, at least for that particular widget that we were looking at, there were definitely two CDN providers. And it's interesting, you bring up the CenturyLink outage, and I think we did see a service that was, you know, completely reliant on, you know, level 3 as an upstream. We've seen that even with DNS, right? Like, you know, providers just like basically relying on one DNS service, kind of the start and the end of, you know, your service, you know, can't happen with our DNS, and it's surprising that it happens. So resiliency again becomes really critical in terms of, you know, factoring how you build your app and how you, like, you know, enable other or many of these other dependencies that you have today.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Just in terms of that, like in the case of the level 3 issue, and you brought up DNS, one of the things that we were seeing, for example, was that even if you had maybe two or more service providers you were using, if your DNS provider was only using, or your DNS service was only connected to level 3, for example, then it didn't matter that you had multiple service providers for your, data center, your customer still wouldn't have been able to reach you. So you have to think about what are your, not only your dependencies, but your dependencies' dependencies, and start kind of going a few levels deep to understand, like, what is the cascading impact of any one of these things failing.
Right. No, that's very true. Whatever is, like, you know, apparent and visible, obviously keep track of that. But otherwise, some cases you might have to, like, you know, actually spend some time in kind of detecting what these dependencies are, because unfortunately, what we've seen is, you know, some of these outages, when they happen, that's when your dependencies are kind of, you know, coming to light, and that's not a good place to be in.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, so that's all we had this week. You know, again, if you are interested in learning just more about what's happening on the internet, you know, some deep dives and outages that we've seen, definitely feel free to subscribe to our blog post and again, our podcast as well. And if you want a t-shirt which says working safely from home, feel free to email internetreport@thousandeyes.com with your address and size, and you will have that. With that, we will see you next week.